Sadly, some people can't endure sound doctrine. When you're in your sin, you don't want to hear it. I read from 2 Timothy chapter 4 that there are those who cannot endure sound doctrine, but they accumulate for themselves teachers after their own desires and turn away from listening to the truth to myths or to stories. And that's what we see these days.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we conclude our look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 7 through 12. And oh, what a conclusion.
Yes, Dave, this passage is awesome. So let's get right to it. Turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 8 as we begin our study in verse 7.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Back to our passage. Long introduction there, but back to our passage, verse 7. We have this list of people and the Levites, middle of verse 7, explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. Yes, we should listen to the public reading of Scripture. It's important. But God has also ordained, as we will see, that His Word is explained so that we would understand the implications of what God is saying. There's conviction, there's correction, there's reproof, there's training in righteousness. We see that. And so He explained the law to the people as they remained in place. Now, it's interesting, if you have the NASB translation, it's a translation of the Hebrew. Here, the word explained is actually this same word translated to understand earlier, ben. And it's in a hifel form. What does that mean? It means to be caused. So they've translated explained, but it literally could say He caused them to understand. That's what teaching is, causing you to understand. You see what I'm saying? If you go and you're taught something at your work about this machine or this thing or whatever it might be, they're going to tell you the specifics and explain it to you to cause you to understand how to work the machine, whatever it might be. And so here, the Levites caused them to understand the law. That's basically what it's saying. And if you were reading Hebrew, you'd see this word bin, not the English explained. You would go, it's related to that, what he said earlier. All who could understand, the Levites caused them to understand. Later on, it's actually translated teach. So He caused them to understand, to discern, to get it, to understand. And so we see this idea of teaching. We see this throughout here. I mentioned earlier chapter 8, verse 9, where it says the Levites taught the people, same word. So then the word is read, and then it is, as we will see in a moment, distinctly declared to put a sense in one's wisdom so that they would understand. This is a packed verse, and there's a lot to it, and it's so helpful for us in understanding how to teach and understanding how we should be listening. So notice here in verse 7. So the goal is to understand, right? You get it. And if you understand the implications, what God's saying, then you're going to do what He says, right? So then, He explained or taught the people so that they would understand. Then look again at verse 8. And they read from the book of the law of God, translating it to give sense so that they would understand the reading. Here we've got a bunch of different words in Hebrew. It's kind of all convoluted, but hopefully be able to share it with you and help you understand it, right? Some initial observations. Verse 8, you have the word translating. Now for us, we think of translation like I hear some Czech words and Radka or Alana explains what it means in English. They're translating, right? Okay. But it's probably not the best translation here. And the reason why it's translated this is because later on in chapter 13, verse 24, it speaks of some of the younger children from mixed marriages the Jews sinned in that didn't even know the original language. And so they're thinking, they're having to translate for these young kids who don't know the actual Hebrew. That's possible. But more likely is the way some other versions translate it, and I think it's better this way. The word literally translating here could be, it's called parash in Hebrew. It's in a puel form, doesn't make any difference. It means to distinctly declare. to distinctly declare. It even could speak of piercing or declaring or clarifying. And so the word translate is not the best translation there. If you look in Ezra 4:18, you don't have to if you want to. This word is used, and it says translate and read in verse 4:18, and then the NASB puts a little note, plainly or clearly read. And we even have a little note in ours that I think it says it talks about explaining there and for that verse. So here you have this idea of teaching. The word is read, and then it is distinctly declared. It is declared distinctly. It is divided rightly. You see what I'm saying? And that's that word translating. And then you have this phrase, to give the sense. Literally means to put in sakal wisdom. So distinctly declaring, to put in wisdom. The word sakal, which is right here, which is the sense in your Bibles, that means wisdom. Or it's the exact same word that was used back in Genesis chapter 3, where Eve was tricked by Satan and she wanted to be wise. It's that same word. So the point here is that they read from the book of the law of God, distinctly declaring it so that they would put in wisdom that they would understand the reading. You see how complex that sentence is? It's complex, okay? But it helps us understand. Verse 8 is so important. It is distinctly declaring the word to put in wisdom that one would understand. That's it. It's not simply reading it. It is teaching. It is teaching. You know, when you think about that on a human level, I used the example earlier about learning things. When someone's teaching you about a machine or starts learning about the airplanes and stuff, they're distinctly declaring, they're putting in you wisdom so that you will understand. That makes sense. And that's exactly what biblical teaching is, and that's what these Levites were doing. And they were hearing the word of God. It was being distinctly declared in a stinging fashion to give the sense or to put the sense or wisdom in that you might understand. That term wisdom could also be translated insight. To give, put in the sense. We translated insight. So hopefully that makes sense. So then these Levites, when the word was read in such a fashion that it was distinctly declared so that it would place wisdom in those who would hear, that they would understand the reading. That's teaching. That's what God's teachers are to do. That's what God enables them to do. That's what God enables them to do. Turn to Luke chapter 24, or just you can listen. Luke chapter 24. This is on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And he is talking to those disciples that are walking away from Jerusalem. It's on the third day. And he does something with them. Luke 24, 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, that's the word of God, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. He expounded, he explained, he did what we're seeing in Nehemiah. He explained to them. And then look a little farther at verse 32. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was, what? Explaining the scriptures to us. He's explaining about all those old covenant sacrifices, how the lambs that were killed every year, they didn't bring salvation, but he, as John would say, is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How all those old covenant things pointed to Jesus. They were pictures of what would happen when Jesus would die for our sins. He explained, and their hearts were burning when he explained scriptures. There needs to be the explanation of the Word of God. There needs to be teaching of the Word of God. And that's what we need to be taught, and we need to listen and teach that way. And notice, the result is explained back in our passage in Nehemiah chapter 8. And notice what it says in verse 12. All the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions to celebrate the great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them. You see, when you understand what's being made known to you, you're going to rejoice. if you get it. Okay? So then, back in our passage, the word being read in a distinct fashion, that it would be placed into the hearer wisdom or insight, and from that insight would be coming understanding. Okay, so these Jews got it. They got it. They understood. And sadly, if you're in a typical evangelical church these days, even the way the Baptist churches are going, sadly, you're going to get a 20 to 30 minute sermon, maybe some truth there, but I guarantee it's not enough to have been read distinctly and explained to put wisdom in you that you might understand. We need to be in the Word of God. They were there from the morning till the afternoon, hearing the Word of God, and it was being explained to them. You see, I read it earlier that, sadly, some people can't endure sound doctrine. When you're in your sin, you don't want to hear it. I read from 2 Timothy chapter 4 that there are those who cannot endure sound doctrine, but they accumulate for themselves teachers after their own desires and turn away from listening to the truth to myths or to stories. And that's what we see these days. Or maybe even a long message about a Reformed lecture and the Reformers and all, whatever it might be, all your human wisdom, whatever it might be, but not the Word distinctly declared that it would place insight into the hearer that they understand. God has ordained that we are taught in the body of Christ. This is how our spiritual walls are built up. This is how we are rebuilt. We know from 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all Scripture, the written Word, is profitable. It brings beneficial results for teaching. That's what we're doing here. For reproof. That means to be exposed. Oh, man, I'm wrong. For correction. That means to make straight again. An arm being set that's broken. And then for training in righteousness, that the man of God would be adequate for every good work. God uses His Word. Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He spoke into existence the first creation, light be and light was. He speaks into existence us through the gospel, and He changes us through His Word. He builds us up. And if our spiritual walls, our lives are shambles, He builds us up by using His Word, distinctly declared, that we would gain insight and we would understand. And later on, we're going to see they get it. They are weeping, and they're going to get it later on. They're going to realize we have been disobeying God for years. And they're going to go out and do the right thing. And God does it. He shows us, wow, you've been disobeying me. This is wrong. And we get convicted on it. And we confess, Lord, I've been doing that. That's what confession means. Saying the same thing. And God says this wonderful verse, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We just admit it. It was wrong. My thoughts were wrong. What I was thinking, what I did, what I said was wrong. And if we confess it, He forgives us because of Jesus. So then, they have heard the Word, but God has ordained for us teachers. You know, and it's hard for me to share this because it sounds like I'm elevating myself because I'm teaching, but that's not the case. God gifts different people differently in the body of Christ. We function. Not everyone is a thumb. Not everyone is an eyeball. Not everyone is an ear. We have differing gifts, and He uses them together to build us up. And we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 28, He's given to the church apostles, prophets, and third teachers. Apostles and prophets, foundation, that's done. Now He teaches the Word that was built upon with them. We know from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we are to appreciate those diligently among us who have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. He's appointed that. We know from Ephesians chapter 4 that He gave certain gifts. And I'll read this for you, Ephesians 4:11. And He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, that's believers, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature man. He uses the teaching of the Word of God to build us up spiritually, that we would be more like Jesus, that we would function rightly in our relationship with Christ. And we see it. I mentioned 1 Timothy 4 earlier about giving attention to public reading, description, exhortation, and teaching. It says that 1 Timothy 4:13. I read 2 Timothy 4 about being commanded to preach the Word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. Hebrews 13:7, remember those who led you, who spoke the Word of God to you. The reality is, when Peter had failed and the Lord Jesus resurrected and restores him on the beach in John 21, he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, I love you. He says, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Tend my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. That's the word of God, and that's what we need. So then, notice back in our passage, these Levites explained it, and now there's going to be a response. And the leaders are going to turn that response from one of grief to one of joy. Because as we're going to see, yes, when we realize we've sinned against God and we have been going the wrong way, our hearts are going to be broken. But God doesn't want it to stay there. He wants us to have joy, and that joy be our stronghold. That joy that he's forgiven us, that we're right with him, that he's changing us, right? Take a look here. We have in verse 9, then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, we just saw that, right? Literally caused them to understand, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Now, some interpreters think that this day is holy because it's one of the feast days, which we're going to see later on, because they've translated the word festival later on here. I don't think that's the case yet, because they haven't got to that point yet where they realize, hey, we've missed that. You'll see that later on. I think he's saying this day is holy to the Lord because of your response to the word of God. And when we gather together, it is holy to the Lord when we are hearing the word of God, when we are praising the Lord. And when you respond, it's a holy day. It is holy to the Lord. It is very special. We know that when one sinner repents, the angels in heaven rejoice, right? We know that this day here is holy to the Lord. It says here, do not weep or mourn, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. They were getting convicted. They were weeping. We have not been doing what we should have been doing. We've been sinning for years. They were convicted. They were weeping. And it's profitable. Scripture's profitable for conviction. It convicts us. Man, I haven't been treating my wife rightly. I've been treating my husband rightly. Man, I blew it with my words at work. I wasn't doing this right. Man, we get convicted. We go, man. And it hits our hearts. But then when we confess it, we're forgiven. It's not so we sin that grace may abound. It's having a attitude, as we will see, of joy because we're forgiven. Notice what he says here. Middle of verse 9, they said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not weep or mourn, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. So this day is set apart. You're responding. It's a wonderful day. And notice what he says to them. Now this is Nehemiah, I believe, in context, who now says this in verse 10. Then he said to them, go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet. Now we're in the south, that's sweet tea, right? No, I don't know about that. But go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. Go celebrate. Go celebrate together. And for the one who didn't prepare anything, give him something. For the day is holy to our Lord. And that's the different word Lord. Notice it's lowercase. That's Adonai, our master. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's interesting, as believers, we know this verse. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We sing songs. The joy of our Lord is our strength. You know, we sing those songs, right? But we don't read the first part. Do not be grieved. Don't let your conviction of sin and your grief over your sin turn you inward to yourself. We do that, right? We can be convicted over our sin and we're rightfully mourning over it, but then we start to have our pity party, right? Rather than praising God and thanking him for forgiving us. And there's a joy in that. There's a joy of forgiveness. For the joy of your Lord is your strength. That term strength can be translated stronghold. It's what holds you up. God's joy. He gives you joy when you've been forgiven. It's not that you go out and sin and you confess and you got joy just because you're going to get a have a system. It's truly admitting and acknowledging and the Lord giving you joy. Don't mourn. If God's been convicting you, yes, you're going to weep, but stop. It's holy. It's a set-apart day. Allow God to strengthen you with joy. Let him strengthen you with joy. God's a good God. You know, there's joy in the Lord. When you're following the Lord, there's joy. Yes, there's grieving over sin and stuff, but there's joy. And so the Levites, verse 11, notice what they did. the Levites calmed the people, saying, be still. You could literally say, be silent. That's what it says in Hebrew. Be silent, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And verse 12, and all the people went away to eat and drink and to send portions to celebrate a great festival. Now, this is where the NASB translates it wrong again, I think. They're thinking it's a festival day. It literally means, you might have a note in your Bible, a great rejoicing. That's all it says, a great rejoicing. Okay? And notice, they didn't go away and have the food and the sweet tea, whatever it might be, because the Levites told them to. Notice why they actually did what the Levites said. Look at this. This is so important. And the people went away to eat and drink, send portions, and to celebrate a great joy. That's what it is. Because the Levites told them to do so? Nope. Because they understood the words which had been made known to them. Go from here after church and rejoice when you understand the truth that you've heard. Right? Not because we shouldn't mourn, not because we should be silent because God says so, but because God has revealed that we should rejoice. And we rejoice because we get it. We understand what we're hearing. We understand what God has said. That brings joy. And it's a joy that's together. Make great rejoicing. The people who were broken down spiritually in a bad place have a desire to hear the word. They listen, and God's teachers put it in them rightly, and they understand. And they leave after being convicted with great joy and great rejoicing because they understood the word. And notice there's another way it's being explained, which had yada, that's to make known, been made known to them. They understood it. Do you get it? Do you understand it? I've mentioned a few things. I've talked about the gospel a few times. Do you get it? You know, God has declared to all men everywhere through furnishing proof by raising Christ from the dead that there's judgment for sin. Therefore, all must repent. And Jesus proclaimed that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed. If you've heard that, you realize, I need to turn to God from my sin. I can't stop my sin. I got to turn to Him to be forgiven. You turn to Jesus, you'll be forgiven, and you will rejoice. You'll have joy of salvation. And for us, those of us who know the Lord, if our spiritual walls are broken down and we're now listening attentively, we're hearing it, we're responding, that should bring conviction, but it also should bring joy for us. We should be the most joyful people on this earth. Sadly, we're often the most not joyful because when sin's in a Christian's life, you're not going to be joyful, right? But when we're right with the Lord, there's great joy. And let the joy of the Lord be your stronghold.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, would you remind us of the main points we just heard in this wonderfully instructive passage of Scripture?
Yes, Dave, I'd love to. Indeed, today we've seen how God restores His people, how He restores the spiritual walls that are broken down and the doors and gates that are burned. And how does He do it? He does it through His word in the heart of those who are receptive. So how can we be restored? Well, we need to start with a desire to be taught the word of God and then gather together to hear His word from His teachers. And as we're gathered together, we need to do so with prepared hearts, that we would listen attentively so that we might understand. Brothers and sisters, we need to allow His teachers to teach us so that we would understand the word made known to us, and this will result in a holy conviction and then great joy.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.